Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm kind of here.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at least three a week, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Also, give the show a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. We've had some fantastic guests on lately, including Kevin Bacon and Michael Bacon, the Bacon Brothers, Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam, Dave Wakeling of the English Beat, Beth Ditto from Gossip, Skeet Ulrich from Scream. Maggie Lindemann was here, Guy Garvey from Elbow. We had Martin Amini, the comedian, as well as actors Rudy Mancuso, Hamish Linklater, Nathan Stewart Jarrett, George McKay, and Gary Clark Jr. as well. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Katie Crutchfield, Waxahachie, back with a new album called Tiger's Blood. Always great to catch up with Katie, one of my favorite singer-songwriters, really, of the past 10-15 years. We're going to be talking about this new album. She'll tell us about writing on the road for more or less the first time and how that lent a lot of inspiration to the stories. The intersection between being an artist and her personal life, and looking at the songs as a collective of self-evaluation. Katie's going to go on to talk about her love of contradictions. I'll ask about originally writing the song 365 for Wynonna Judd in mind, and she'll tell us why her favorite vocalist is R.E.M.'s Michael Stipe. All that and more, we're talking Tiger's Blood. It's Kyle Meredith with Katie Crutchfield of Waxahachie.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm doing so great because I've been able to spend the last few days just immersing myself in your brand new record, and I love it so much. I should just start out with that. It's so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You didn't fail us, which I'm so happy
to, you know, that's all I wanted, was to not fail you guys. That's what I wanted. So I'm happy to hear that.
But seriously, you know, I thought I'd just back up a little bit, you know, St. Cloud being there and then Plains in the middle. Is there like a through line? Does one of those projects, like, does Plains find its way to influencing this? Is it one of those jumping off points, or was that its own thing?
That, I think, was its own thing as far, like, from my standpoint, as far as like the songs go, like the songwriting part of that is like entirely its own thing. But a lot of the sonic choices, and like, as far as what making that record did for my collaborative relationship with Brad Cook, it's a through line, if that makes sense. So it's sort of a yes and no.
It's an answer and a non-answer at the same time. That's it.
Yeah.
But these songs, they're so good. And getting into the stories and what you're talking about in this, and hearing that even about, like, a lot of these songs, I guess, were written while on tour. And I don't know how many, and more so, it's funny to me that we always find that really fascinating, I think, as listeners, as fans. Like, why is that so fast? It's like, oh, it was written on the road. Like, do these songs necessarily reflect the places? Like, do you hear the songs and go, oh, that was that tour stop or whatever?
Yes and no. It's so funny because I agree. It's so like romantic. It's like almost famous or something. You know, you think of it as like, oh, it's written on the road. I've never written on the road before this record, really. Little bits and pieces of St. Cloud were written on the road. But truly bits and pieces, like a half of a verse here, you know, a half a chorus there, nothing substantial. I have really been, I've been, my suspicion about why I wrote a lot of this record on the road is, I think all musicians, we exist in like a cycle, you know, like you write the record, you record the record, you promote the record, you tour the record, and then you start over. And that's, I've been doing that cycle for like my whole life, basically most of my life. And so I think that what happened was I put out St. Cloud and then I didn't do anything for 18 months because of COVID. And so by the time I finally was touring that record, like my musical cycle was starting over and was like, but it's time to write a record. And I'm like, no, but I'm touring a record, you know? So I just kind of had to do it because that it was just coming out. It was time. And yeah, I mean, there's I wrote right back to it backstage at Wolf Trap in Vienna, Virginia, which is like an iconic venue. And so of course I like clock that. I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote that in that dressing room, I remember. Mostly I don't have that. I'm reflecting on like my life in the last few years in general. And sometimes that is happening on the road and sometimes it's not.
Sure. Of course, there are those moments that, you know, probably going to be inevitable. I was thinking like an ice cold, a rusted out sign, Jesus Loves You. Like, not to say that it was necessarily on the road, but it's like road albums, road songs, just, you know, sort of those moments that lend themselves to that. But there's also like, I find it interesting, like I think what I'm hearing is references to your job. Like there are parts of this album that feels like, you know, you're having to speak for, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess the clash of your professional life and your personal life and how they coexist.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, honestly, more than anything, it's a snapshot of like all areas of my life right now. So yeah, I think that there's certainly some aspects of my job sort of tied into it. And there's some aspects of my personal life tied into it. And I just try my best to write all of that stuff with the listener in mind, you know, and just try and find a way to get as close as I possibly can to both like being true to my actual experience and also being like relatable to a person who's hearing these songs. So if I can get those two things to like coexist together, then I've done my job.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astapro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astapro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy AstaPro.com. AstaPro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Waxahachie.
So is it fair to say that it's sort of an album of self-evaluation? And maybe every album is, when I say that out loud, to a certain degree.
I think so. I mean, I think I write, I think I'm at my strongest as a songwriter when I'm really looking inward, and it's very introspective, and it is self-evaluating. And when I look outward is kind of when things get a little more challenging for me. So yeah, I think it's both. I mean, I think that there's certainly some moments where I'm very much speaking to another person, and then there's a lot of moments where I'm looking inward. So yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean by that part? When you look outward, it's more challenging.
I think that, like, I wrote about this on my Substack, but.
Which I just became a subscriber to. Thank you.
Oh, good. Great. one of the earliest entries I made, I talked about this interview that my sister Allison and I did for the New York Times with John Caramonica in like 2012. And we were like super young and we were like green. It was the first big like press thing we had ever done. And he said this thing to us because he was interviewing her about her band Swearin', and he was interviewing me kind of about the first Waxahachie record. And he said this thing where he was like, Allison, you are at your strongest as a songwriter when you point the gun outward at the world. Katie, you are at your strongest as a songwriter when you point the gun inward. And it never left my mind. Like, this was like 12 years ago. It's never left my mind. And I think he's right. I think that is my comfort zone as a writer, to be like self-critical and like sort of like not self-deprecating, but kind of like, yeah, just like running some sort of inventory on like myself emotionally. and certainly there's parts of that on this record, but I get a little bit better about like evaluating, you know, my relationships and other people in my life as well.
Well, you do always do it so poetically, even when I'm not the best at reading poetry, even when I don't completely understand what's going on, it's just so beautifully said. And the way you write it, I was noticing, you know, a lot of songwriters, especially, rhyming becomes important. But just because you complete the rhyme doesn't mean the sentence is completed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you're aware of? And is that a trick you figured out? Because I don't, like, I'm sure it's been done before, obviously, but it's not obvious to me other people that do it exactly that way.
Everyone has their own hangups as a songwriter, I've noticed, like, about this stuff. Because there are people who it's like way more important that the sentence ends on the line than keeping the rhyme scheme up, and that would like make my skin crawl as a songwriter. I need it to rhyme. I need to have exactly the right amount of syllables. The vocal melodies that I write are so rhythmic that it just needs to fit just right and like hit exactly how I want. And I care way less about like grammar or even like fully finishing a thought. I just want to make sure that it sounds right and feels right. So yeah, I mean, my record title doesn't have an apostrophe after Tigers because I'm like, that doesn't look right. Even though it's incorrect, it's grammatically incorrect. But I'm just like, you know, I didn't get into like, I'm not like a professional artist to like follow the rules of grammar. You know what I mean? So
when I don't want to say the story's not important, but the story, how the story comes across doesn't have to be as important as how it sounds and how it feels.
Yeah, I've told myself this, like, I kind of have developed this rule for myself, which is like, I either need to so perfectly describe an experience that I had that it's like, it feels really moving to me, or if I'm not doing that, then every single line has to be perfect. Even if the larger story of it doesn't make sense, it has to just like really be like evoking something, and every single word has to be perfect. So my songs have to pass one of those two tests to like make it to the record.
Does that filter into other parts of your life? Do things have to be lined up neatly on the counter?
No, I'm like a more of a neat, you know, it's funny because like I'm in a relationship with a person who I would identify as like messy. So I feel like I am the neat one in my house, but I'm not that neat. In the grand scheme of things. Yeah.
Probably for the better. I was looking at some lines just to say them so I can, because I appreciate them so much. Evil Spawn, we can roll around in the disarray in the final act of the good old days.
Yeah.
And Lone Star Lake, I'm an outlaw in the court of strong opinions. You'll kill me, but my failure is legendary, babe. I don't get tattoos, but I'm pretty sure I would get that tattoo. Like,
thank you. Those are two of my, lyrically speaking, like those are two of my favorites on the record where, you know, I just feel like I put a lot of effort into it. It was a bit of a labor, but yeah, it all feels like sharp to me, which is good.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Waxahachie.
And I'm curious about, because of some lyrics, what the outcome of who you were when you're writing it versus where you might see yourself now, because, you know, referencing Ice Cold and right back to it. If I'm losing touch with everything I once held, I wouldn't think much of it. And then right back to it, you say, I lose a bit of myself. And maybe I'm putting two contexts that aren't supposed to, but, you know, in the grand scheme of words on an album, it feels like you're saying something there. Like, what part of you is lost, and how do you come out that other side?
Yeah, you know, I feel like being lost or feeling like I have, like, am feeling like that, then that's like the biggest red flag for me that, like, things are amiss, you know? And so when I get back to like a baseline or like realignment, you know, that's like a good indicator that needs to become a focus of mine. So yeah, I mean, I feel like I certainly, like, I feel like I wrote those two songs at like totally different times, like 6 months apart or something. So like, who knows how many times I could have like lost and found myself in between those two. But, you know, I love on the record, there's so many contradictions, and that was really intentional. You know, I think that there's like, there's a part where I'm like, take my money, I don't work that hard. And then like a couple songs later, it's like, I get home from working hard, honey. You know, I love that stuff. I'm like, cause that's so human. We're all contradicting ourselves constantly. We're like honking the horn at someone for cutting us off. And then like 20 minutes later, we're cutting somebody off, you know? So I really love that stuff. So there's all kinds of contradictions in there.
I love that. 365, initially written with Wynonna Judd in mind, as I've read.
Yes.
What did you see in Wynonna originally? Because I know the song became something else. What became what it is here?
Yeah, it was like I sat down to write it for Y. Like, you know, we collaborated on that song and it was so great. And then I was like, I really want to like keep working with Cactus, her husband, and Wynonna. So I just sat down at my piano, like, oh, maybe this could, like, you know, I was like playing these chords and kind of humming this melody. And I was like, maybe this could be something that like Y would like, you know? And so I just sort of was singing it for a while, all with that in my head. But then when the melody started to like go in a totally different direction, I started to sing really loud and really high. And it was like getting really emotive and big. I was kind of like, I think this might be something that I might like singing myself and like might suit kind of like this next phase of whatever the Waxahachie record's going to be. And so, yeah, like in that same sitting, I was like, maybe this could be for Wynonna. And then very quickly I was like, actually, I think this is for me.
For Wynonna, who apparently her friends call Y.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. yeah, no, I mean, I feel like, you know, Wynonna is so, she's so creative and she's so much fun to work on stuff with. And she's just like primed to like make an amazing, have an amazing, like, next chapter in her career. So I'm really excited and I hope that I get to be some small part of it. So yeah, it wasn't 365 ended up being for me, but I feel like, you know, she's got, I'm sure, many, many very exciting songs that she's working on.
Well, I love that you went with your instinct on that one, because what you do with your voice, and as much as I love the songs, I love what you do with your voice that can go from low to high in these moments, especially in that song. And in Bored, there's almost like a whisper to your voice in that one at the same time. I mean, I don't know if you can talk like, I don't know if you can talk about what you do with your voice the same way you do with your lyrics, but I would love to hear if there is kind of a story behind that as well, because there's so much going on vocally.
You know, I used to be, when I was younger and I first started writing songs, like I was so concerned with just like making sure that every single word had to be like exactly right. And like, if what came out when I first started singing a melody, like, you know, no matter how like weird it was, like a lot of the time I would be like, oh, I just like want to tune it out. But now I really try and pay attention to like, when I'm writing something, what word is coming up? Like, what vowel shape am I making? What exactly is coming out? And then that's honestly a lot of the time what anchors. So I've become a lot less discerning in a way and kind of more like following just like the natural progression of things. So
it's almost acrobatic sometimes what you're doing.
Oh, thanks.
Not that you're like, you don't have to worry about those Mariah Carey notes or anything. You know, you'll have those singers who wrote something when they were 18 that suddenly they have to account for when they're, you know, 60, and it's not in the cards anymore. Like, I don't feel like you have that to worry about, but it's still impressive in that same kind of game.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I feel like I don't have like a traditionally amazing voice, but my voice has its own personality, which is kind of all I've ever wanted. My favorite singer on earth is Michael Stipe. And so I feel like he's such a, it's such a template for like what I want to do. And there's moments where it's really strong and it's loud and it's big and it's very emotive, but it's just like kind of its own thing, which is kind of what I strive for.
You know how often I sit on these interviews and talk about Michael Stipe and how he's the greatest singer-songwriter of all time?
I'm on the right show.
He's just peeking over my shoulder this time. It's a bit more prominent, but
love it.
And that's might be why I appreciate your music so much too. There's something going on in the back of my mind. Tiger's Blood is so good. I'm so happy that you continue to do what you do. Seriously, Katie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. It's always such a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
My thanks to Katie. The new Waxahachie album is called Tiger's Blood. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around before you get out of here. That way you can keep up with the three or four interviews that we put out every single week. Noon every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at least. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Hit that subscribe button, and then give the show a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Astrud Gilberto, Suzanne Vega, Michelle and Degiocello, The Staves, Devo, Nirvana, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Always, Sheryl Crow, Kings of Leon, Nina Simone, Otis Redding, The War on Drugs, Brittany Howard, Gary Clark Jr., U2, Caroline Polachek, Idols, The Tom Tom Club, The Libertines, Daniel Ponder, and my interview with actor Tom Payne, who you'll remember from Prodigal Son or The Walking Dead. We got to talk about him starring in that new Blumhouse thriller horror called Imaginary. Just an example of what you get every weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith, and I do hope you like it. Follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
When I think about it all the time, when I was like 16, all I wanted was to be like a musician for the rest of my life. I didn't think about all the other stuff I was going to have to do.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.